Hello, developers out there. Thanks for joining us tonight for another exciting episode of the CleanTech Show on Coffee's Dev Radio. And we are broadcasting from All Nations University's main campus in Koforidua. We meet Dr. Julian Bennett, who shares his experience with the ongoing space program at the All Nations University College. Julian is a lecturer and a researcher and leads the Space Science Technology Laboratory in the college. I wouldn't jump too much into details for now because Mr. Julian is here to share his insights and experience with us. The space program sounds exciting and I'm more than happy to be here to hear his experiences. I'm Rex Fodinkansa, a senior web developer and will be your host for tonight. We'll be back shortly. Tonight's episode is sponsored by The African Dream and supported by Barcamp Ghana. The African Dream is all about telling the African story from an African perspective to awaken humanity. Check out theafricandream.net today to read and watch amazing African stories by great men and women of African origins. Barcamp Ghana brings people interested in Ghana together for an informal networking forum where attendees share ideas, discuss interest, network, and learn. Visit barcampghana.org to learn more about the next barcamp close to you. Stay tuned, we will be back shortly. Thank you for joining us. We are here with Mr. Julian. He is a lecturer at the All Nations University main campus here in Koforidua. Thank you so much, Mr. Julian, for joining us.
You're welcome.
I've heard so much goodness about your work here at the All Nations University. Last week, we met Barnabas and Joshua, and they shared their experience with robotics and Internet of Things, IoTs. Personally, that was my first time seeing an Arduino board and a Raspberry Pi. Pretty interesting stuff. And they really said so much goodness about you that I had to meet you and hear some of these amazing experiences. So please, tell us a bit about yourself, Dr. Julian.
Okay. My name is Julian Bennett. Like you mentioned, I'm the head of the Space Science Technology Laboratory here. And that's a team working on, we conduct research in space science and satellite technology stuff and then the applications. Yes. So you may have heard of us in 2013 where we built the CANSAT. The CANSAT is a small unit the size of roughly a Coke can, but it has everything that we need to be able to track and communicate with it. Yeah. The only thing is we don't launch that into orbit. Yeah, the idea is usually satellite projects are very expensive, on the order of hundreds of millions of dollars.
Yeah, they are.
So we try to cut down on cost by using a miniaturized version of all the things that we need to use there.
Interesting.
Rather than send this into orbit, we attached a helium float balloon to it and then lifted it up almost 200 meters into the sky. We had a temperature sensor on board, so it was giving us temperature readings. And at the same time, we had a camera. Yeah, but we tied the camera to a small memory card. So whatever pictures it took,
it was just recorded.
Exactly.
On there. I think at that time I was around, you said 2013.
2013.
I think I came around because we did a bit of, we did Barcamp here.
Yes. Yes.
Barcamp Koforidua here. Yes. So I was here and I heard the whole...
Okay. I wasn't here myself.
Okay.
Yeah, I didn't come in by then, but that was what took place.
Yeah, and it came on telly. We all saw that and
we're it's on YouTube as well.
Yes. You are here to support with the space program.
Exactly.
But did you come in here as a space program guy or...
Virtually, yes. I did a master's degree in the UK in between 2010 and 2011. And then I stayed on for about 2 years and then I came to Ghana. So I came in 2014. Yeah, the degree is aerospace engineering.
Okay. Yeah, so you have degree. A background so have, in
exactly, exactly. So I was actually a bit more interested in designing the rocket stack with Senator. But at the time, you know, we wanted to take things one step at a time.
Yes.
We work with a satellite.
Yes.
Get a ground station.
Okay.
And once that's done, we can look at developing
it. I hear rumors about the All Nations University being a part of a team or collaborating with other countries to launch a, what is it?
Yes, it's actually a true story. It's called the BERT project.
What's the name of it?
BERT.
BERT.
B-I-R-D-S.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
It's we have about five countries coming together. That's Ghana, Nigeria, Mongolia, Bangladesh, and then Japan. And we are working together in Kyushu University, Kyushu Institute of Technology.
Okay, yeah. Where is it?
They have, it's in Kyushu, the state, the town of Kyushu.
Okay.
Yeah. It's called KUTEK, some call it KUTEK. Yeah. They have a testing facility. It's one of two main testing facilities they have in Japan.
Okay.
For testing CubeSats and some other satellites that have been launched. Yeah. So the idea behind it is, these are all developing countries, as you may know, and we all wanted to look at what goes into building and launching a satellite as a first step. You know, Ghana hasn't done anything.
Yeah.
This is going to be the first time. I would say virtually in Africa, you know, Nigeria has launched a satellite commercially, but what happens is they just got a company
to
build and launch to everything.
Okay. So well, it did not basically happen on their soil.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. We are trying to do that with our hands. We have our own engineers working on the project. We've built it. It's actually ready to go. We've handed it over to JASA. JASA is Japan's version of
NASA. Okay.
Yes. So they in turn would hand it over to NASA, and then they'll put it on SpaceX rocket, the Falcon 9.
Yeah.
Yeah, one of the Dragons.
Yeah. The Falcon 9, I think that's their recent rocket thing they've built, which has this long-range, powerful boosters and all.
Yes. They have this long-term mission of launching man to Mars.
Yes.
That's their primary goal.
I think Elon Musk is...
I would say very ambitious,
obsessed with the idea of going to Mars. He wants to. I think I saw an interview that someone asked him whether he will want to be on board the first mission. I was like, no, I'm not going.
but for a good reason.
Yeah, for a good reason. Like he wants to still lead the program here. And
exactly.
Yeah,
he's a very interesting entrepreneur. We call him a moonshot.
Yeah,
you know, the guy, the kind of guy who would take that project that everybody would say
no and we'll make it a yes. Yeah,
he started PayPal.
Yeah, he's behind PayPal.
And so that, and then the money he got from that, he used to build Tesla
and SpaceX.
Yeah. Tesla is the all electric car company.
He's doing great. And hearing about All Nation taking part in this project to get something onto the space station, it brings chills to me. I don't know how you feel about it, but it's exciting.
I'm very excited.
I can see a lot of effort has gone into getting this thing to work since the initial trials in 2013 that happened. Leading the team, what are some of the challenges you face? What are some of the difficulties you've come across? Let me put it this way, how easy is it to build?
truth be told, it's not easy. It's not easy at all. We had to start off, considering Ghana hasn't done anything like this before, we had to start off training our engineers, you know, getting ourselves oriented in the space environment, what it takes to send a satellite into space, the components, or let's say the subsystems, in terms of what
needed.
Has to go together to build the satellite and all that. So we did a bit of learning before the engineers eventually went to Japan. So we're actually doing this kind of as part of our master's project at the same time.
Yeah.
Yes. And the other challenge we've had is the financial challenge in getting funds together. It hasn't been easy. You know, on our side of the world, it's hard enough convincing someone who wants to build a satellite to launch. People are looking for money to buy food.
Yes, yes, that is true. And I don't think there's much funding that goes into research in our part of our world.
That's one of the main challenges we have. But we are working around it gradually. All Nations has been good. Dr. Donko has this drive to push technological innovations. So once you come up with an idea, it's really good, it attracts attention, it's willing to invest
That's great.
So that's the lucky side we've had on this side. It's not easy. You can go to other universities pitching this idea and nobody will listen to you.
Yeah.
So we're really grateful for that.
That's exciting. So this CubeSat you've built,
yes,
would it be launched from Ghana?
This is actually a CubeSat.
CubeSat.
Yes. What we launched in 2013 was a CubeSat.
Okay, so this one is a bit bigger than the CubeSat.
Yes.
Okay.
Well,
slightly.
Slightly, yes.
Yeah.
The CubeSat, like I said, it's in the shape of a Coke can.
Yeah.
But the CubeSat is going to be 10 centimeters cubed.
Okay.
Yes, it's going to be a cube, literally.
Yeah. And in that comes with some components.
All the components you need. Yes. This one is going to go into orbit. So it will need to be self-sustaining.
Sustaining.
So we're going to put solar panels and put solar panels around it. So that's what it will use to extract energy for its operations.
Okay.
And then on board we decided to attach a camera It's going to be just a low resolution, nothing. Yeah, we just want to test the system. We want to retrieve images it has taken of the Earth. Yeah. It's going to take images of the Earth and pick them up and then just. So it's kind of
a trial, a
technological demonstration.
Okay. Yes, to have a learning process involved in how the whole thing works.
We would also have what we call a digipeater. It's basically a device that has a pre-recorded message. Okay. So once the satellite comes within our field of view, we can download the data on it, and then it might be a song that we can play it out.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
We are hoping that maybe on the day it's launched, we can play it out publicly.
Publicly, station or for people to have a listen. I'm sure that launch will be broadcasted live, yes, as they do like in recent years. So definitely Ghanaians will be excited to see a bit of what they've worked.
I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
I'm really excited. I mean, this hasn't happened before.
I've not heard
anytime
of anything like that.
Friends that I'm conducting research in space science and satellite technology in Ghana. They look at me like, wow, are you really serious?
Yeah, that's true. At this point, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We will be back and go into the details as to how this CubeSat, what went into building it. So stick and stay. We'll be back shortly. Tonight's episode is sponsored by The African Dream and supported by Barcamp Ghana. The African Dream is all about telling the African story from an African perspective to awaken humanity. Check out theafricandream.net today to read and watch amazing African stories by great men and women of African origins. Barcamp Ghana brings people interested in Ghana together for an informal networking forum where attendees share ideas, discuss interests, network, and learn. Visit barcampghana.org to learn more about the next Barcamp close to you. Stay tuned, we'll be back shortly. Hi and welcome back. If you just joined us, we're here with Dr. Julian Bennett. He shares his experience with us related to the space program that is happening here at the All Nations University College in Koforidua. Dr. Julian, this CubeSat, what is it made of? Is it titanium? Is it plastic composite materials? How did you come about building it?
The space materials have to be space hardened because going out there, they're going to be facing extreme temperatures.
Yeah.
We're looking at 2,000 degrees on the positive side and much lower temperatures.
Yeah. You know, on the side, depending on where the sun is facing.
Exactly. Yeah, so we need to really, you know, get them hardened for space.
Okay.
The electronics as well are space hardened, so we're not using a normal everyday
computer. Like the circuits in our laptops.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. It's still transistors, resistors,
everything, but you've made it
right. Because even the trip into space, you know, these rockets do a lot of vibrating as they go.
A lot.
Yeah. So if you don't get them in good shape, what will happen is they'll all break up before it gets to.
And the materials, did you have to make them yourself or you got?
We bought them.
Okay. Yeah. They are more like industrial grade.
They're industrial grade. We have to use a lot of off the shelf components.
Okay.
Yeah, to go. So because this is the first time we are doing it, we picked up bits and pieces
together to
then develop the rest of the additional circuits we needed to get it done.
So how many students do you have like working to make and how long has this project?
This project has been on for almost 2 years now. We built, after the CANSAT, we proceeded to build a ground station. Yeah, with that, we are tracking and communicating with satellites at the moment, including the international space station.
The ground station, where is it? Is it?
It's here, within a building, somewhere within a building.
Somewhere, you don't want to give the location. Well, yes, that's fine.
Yes.
But then so it's on campus.
It's on campus.
It tracks.
Yes. It tracks, and we can communicate with satellites. We can send signals out
to them,
and we receive signals as well.
How many students do you have on the team?
I would say at the moment, when we started, we had students, about 5 students. Now, most of them have finished school now. They are still working with us as engineers.
On board the team?
On board the team.
Okay.
But from time to time, we have students join us. So it's not a fixed number. You know, we have about 4 students learning about how the ground station works.
Okay.
And we have other students. So it's kind of, you don't have a fixed number for that. But for the engineers working on the team, these are, most of them are old students of the school.
Okay.
We have 4 engineers. 3 of them are in Japan at the moment.
Wow.
Seems to be the final development. And we have one here.
Wow.
At the lab. Yes.
Interesting stuff. So with this launch, are there any plans of building maybe, I don't know, if SpaceX launch, but what do you think the future is? Is the possibility of building a rocket launched from
Ghana? There is the possibility of building a rocket. What I realized from our end is most of the rockets that have to send satellites into space are usually very huge rockets sending.
They have to escape gravity, exactly, whatever they call it.
Exactly. But you realize that lots of universities are going into CubeSat design and development.
Okay.
So I was thinking, why don't we have a smaller rocket, much smaller rocket that can take no more than, say, 10 CubeSats.
Yeah.
And
very little.
That's much, much smaller payload. It should be easier to get some
simple rockets,
structures to build,
lifted off it.
Exactly.
Because so the heavier the payload, the
more expensive,
the more fuel you need.
The more fuel, exactly.
I hope to see a day like that happen where Ghana, we can say, okay, let's live stream this. We are launching
a rocket.
How? Right here. Sometimes I wonder how. I see videos of how there's this space debris.
Yes.
Isn't this also going to contribute to the debris in the space? Or?
Not necessarily. What usually happens is when satellites are launched into orbit, they end up with, let's call it a velocity that's slightly lower than what it should be.
Yes.
So they don't totally stay
in orbit eventually. Because
they eventually come down lower and lower. And then eventually get into an atmosphere and burn out.
And burn out.
Yes. So you may not even get to see the particles, because by the time they come in,
entry speed and everything will destroy everything. Wow.
So, you're looking at, depending on the height above the Earth, some may stay in orbit for about 6 months, some may stay for a year, some may stay for 2 years, and then they come back into orbit. Unless, of course, you attach small rockets to it.
So that to boost it. I think the International Space Station, they have something like that, which
helps to keep
periodically
them
to help it stay in orbit.
Exactly.
Please explain to our audience, when this CubeSat is launched into orbit, what is going to be the process involved? Let's say the Falcon takes it into space.
Yes.
How does it get into orbit? Is it gonna it doesn't have legs, but is it gonna walk out of there?
What's going to happen is the Falcon is going to take it to the International Space Station.
So it will get docked at the ISS.
Exactly. You know, the Falcon X would have it alongside a number of
payloads from other people
and sort
through. Okay.
Yes. Now we have what we call a peapod deployer
on
the International Space Station. You know, so what happens is the astronauts there would push it into the peapod deployer from within the station.
Okay.
But there's another door on the other side, which will be closed at the time.
Okay.
So when they close it, then they would open it from
the other door. Okay.
And I think there'll be a spring that will just
push it into. And that means it will obviously take the speed at which the ISS is traveling. From there.
Exactly.
But then since it doesn't have boosters and whatnot, a time is coming, it will lose the velocity or the whatever, and then
it will lose its altitude.
Yes, and then will eventually crash into the atmosphere. So at that point, you're going to lose.
Yes.
How long is that going to happen?
But we would have gained the knowledge we were looking for. The primary goal of this project, and that's really it, we just want to look at what goes into building and launching a satellite. Once we have done that successfully, then the other reason maybe it's, it's difficult to go to someone now and say, we want to build a launch satellite.
So
now, if we've done one, it's easier to say, we've done it before,
and then this is how it goes.
Exactly. Yeah. So this is solely for educational purposes. We've given it an Earth observation mission, but it's solely for educational purposes.
I'm curious, how long is it going to stay in the orbit? Is there any, there should be a calculation.
6 months.
Might
be a little longer.
Okay.
So let's say between six months and a year.
At this point, we want to take a quick commercial break. We'll be back to talk more about whether any programming language was involved in this launch. Are there any IoTs on board? We'll hear more from Dr. Bennett right after this commercial break.
Thank you.
Tonight's episode is sponsored by The African Dream and supported by Barcamp Ghana. The African Dream is all about telling the African story from an African perspective to awaken humanity. Check out theafricandream.net today to read and watch amazing African stories by great men and women of African origins. Barcamp Ghana brings people interested in Ghana together for an informal networking forum where attendees share ideas, discuss interest, network, and learn. Visit barcampghana.org to learn more about the next Barcamp close to you. Stay tuned, we'll be back shortly. Hi, if you just joined us, we're here with Dr. Julian Bennett, who acquired his BSc degree in electrical engineering from the KNUST and has a master's degree in aerospace engineering from the Brunel University in London. Dr. Julian is currently at the All Nations University College and leads the space program. He's here sharing his experiences with us related to the upcoming CubeSat launch into space. Thanks for joining us again. You're welcome. At this point in time, we want to learn about the programming that went into the CubeSat then. I'm a web developer and I can't have a discussion without talking about some lines of code. So it's the whole CubeSat is going to run some form of softwares.
Yes.
Are they all in-house or?
It's, in all honesty, I can't tell you the details of the software that's in there. But you had to write up, obviously, you had to do software for
the team
for the CubeSat. Okay. And then we are doing some for the ground station as well.
To be able to communicate.
Okay. We need to integrate bits and pieces of various, let's call them subsystems.
Okay.
Because you need, for example, you need the software to manage your power module.
Yes.
You want to be able to have power at the time you're taking a picture of the Earth.
Yeah.
If at that time something else on the CubeSat is drawing power.
Yeah, you have to regulate that. And
yeah, so we need to regulate that.
Okay.
We need to regulate the control. We have a bit of an ADCS system that's...
Okay.
Yeah, so that it's facing Earth at the time the
camera is taking Okay. So it's able to... Is this something similar to gyroscope?
Kind of, but it's using magnetism.
The Earth
has a magnetic field.
Yes, that
so
you
what
can...
it does is it helps align it with the magnetic
That's another strategy because I know of this kind of position.
You can have a gyroscope.
I think that's what the ISS they use. They have this gyroscope turning around to position
it
to face the sun or something like that. Okay, so
you have
something on board that will regulate the positioning of it to face the Earth. That must be a bit of programming challenges on the part of the students.
Yes. The interesting thing about this is it's not just about the programming. You need to study, let's call it orbit mechanics.
Yeah.
The movement of the satellite itself in orbit. You need to know where it is at a point in time to be able to factor in a number of other things.
Yeah.
For example, I'm talking about the camera wants you to take the image of the
It needs to be positioned.
Positioned so that it's facing the Earth
and not pointing to the sun.
Exactly. And then we need software to be able to tell us when the satellite is going to be
within your view. Okay.
Because you can't physically see it's so small.
You have to.
Yeah, so we have a way of tracking. We get some, let's call it pre-notice, advanced notice.
Okay.
When it's going to be coming. We have a time when it's supposed to start coming.
Okay. And then when it's going to go off.
So that gives us time to prepare. Download as much information from it as we can.
So how do you communicate with it? Standard radio waves. Okay.
Yeah. We're using ultra high frequency waves and then very high frequency. One for transmitting and
one for receiving. Okay. But you don't have any LISA kind of thing on board for communication.
No,
because that would
not
have
from the satellite.
That would have
yeah.
I don't know if they've done that because
it's been done some schools
to use because when it comes into orbit then you beam quickly within maybe 30 seconds or even a minute, you focus it, follow it, and I think within that period of time, you're going to get...
The US that was doing that.
Okay.
They did it successfully, so it's very
interesting. With that, you can pull almost all the data within the shortest possible time.
Exactly.
It's really fun listening to how the whole process goes and knowing that something, a piece of Ghana, is going to go into orbit pretty soon. It's something, perhaps it's going to give me sleepless nights, but I'm really excited to know you have put a lot of work into it. Big ups to All Nations for
thank you.
Uh, for putting the effort and for supporting the team behind and working. And I think you also done a great job leading this project and helping it grow. I'm sure the students have also learned a lot from the process. The experience they've gained is...
Wow. Yeah, then not to cut it short, the experience in itself has motivated them to do so many other things.
Other projects on their own.
What we're doing is some group of students came together to build their own radio transmitter.
Okay.
Yeah, so we actually tested it a few times. What we did was we got students to change, we set it at a particular frequency.
Yeah.
Got students to tune their radios.
Radios to that frequency and everything worked.
And we're broadcasting. Last year, I put together a team to build a small rover bot. The idea was inspired by the Mars Curiosity.
On Mars currently. Yes.
So they built, we wanted to go straight into the electronic, but I realized that there were so many things we had overlooked.
Yeah.
We started out putting together a
cardboard model. Okay.
It's upstairs as we speak.
Okay.
And that's excited, gotten the students even more excited. So now we're bringing in components, you know, bits and pieces of what we need to learn to develop the electronics part of it. So we have a robot arm, we have a motor car, we've put in some AI, trying to to be able to
move around.
So Barnabas, we have spoken with you.
Yeah, he is into this robotics and making sure cars move around.
Yes.
He even explained how he used his Twitter feed
Exactly. It's very interesting. And with that, you know, we have the basics. So we're going to be equipped with the basics
to actually do something solid.
And once we develop a robot like this, this can be applied not just in space, but we can use it here on Earth.
Yeah.
For example, in the mines, you know, it's very dangerous. I always
going down there.
People going underground because we've heard these stories with them. I think it was it Chile?
Yeah.
Yeah. Then later on, New Zealand, a number of people died as a result of that.
It's risky.
Like this, it's risky.
But then a robot dying down there isn't...
It's not going to be... Yeah, we're just going to lose the robots.
Oh, of course. Your research is still around, so you can go down the
way. Exactly. Yeah. You know, so that's inspired them. And you can see even with new projects, in the final year, they all have to do the final year
project. Yeah.
A lot of it is inspired by...
These kind of
projects.
Milestones you've had.
And then also as a result of this, we've established collaborations with NASA. So... And from time to time, we have other projects we work on. For example, I don't know if you've heard of the Aeronet, Aeronet project.
No, I don't.
NASA has this plan to study aerosols in the atmosphere, considering how they affect climate change. And so they have these sand photometers installed all around the world. So we spoke with them and they said they were happy to install one of the sand photometers here.
Okay.
So we have one on top of our building.
I need to come around and have an extra detailed tour of this because I can see there's a hidden room for tracking something. there are stuff on top of the building. Yes. I need to come around and
this one it's another interesting project. It's basically a device that automatically tracks the sun.
Okay.
So it measures the intensity of the sun at any one point in time. But it's nice to know or to think about the algorithms that have to go into getting the robots to lift up and then point
exactly.
Yeah, all we did was after installing it, all we did was give it the GPS location
of where we are.
And then the algorithm was able to calculate where exactly the sun will be located with respect to it. So it just
Follows it along
tracks it. You know, so we are hoping to get scientists locally to also study the data that comes out of it and see what we can make out of it.
So getting this CubeSat onto the upcoming launch. Yes. How much did it cost? The launch. I'm thinking of adding my helmet to one of the payloads and sending it into space. So how much is it going to cost me?
Yeah, we're looking at upwards of $100,000.
$100,000. That's not cheap.
That's not cheap
for a cube that size.
A cube set. Yes, that size. We're looking at a 10 cm cube.
Square.
It's here centimeter cube.
Cube centimeter cube.
Ten
yeah,
centimeter
it's
centimeter by
centimeter. In terms of the volume.
And then weight limits. Usually for CubeSats, CubeSat has come to be recognized as a standard.
Okay.
So many people try to keep the weight to a maximum 1.3 kilograms.
Okay.
So you have to make sure that no matter what subsystem.
Yeah, because the higher it goes,
more expensive.
Yeah,
yes, you're literally paying per
kilo. Yeah,
exactly.
That's expensive.
It is.
That means my helmet is. And if I want to squeeze all this helmet into that, then it's going to cost me half of that.
Another story.
Wow.
Maybe you have to put our CubeSat inside your helmet.
Maybe. Wow, that's That's not cheap.
It's not cheap. It's not cheap.
And
so we are hoping that with time, I mean, if, for example, we can develop our own rockets, we might be able to come up with technology for making it cheaper. So if we can even reduce the cost of transportation, I mean, that can significantly reduce the cost. But on a good note, CubeSat is relatively cheaper to launch compared with the
It's relatively cheaper.
It's relatively cheaper. The idea was developed by, I think it's called Bob Twiggs, California. I forgot the university. You know, but he thought, why don't we come up with something much, much smaller than a typical satellite and be able to have everything that we need to be able to track and communicate with it. And these days, people are even looking into building smaller and smaller satellites.
What?
Now we have what's called a Pico satellite. That's about 5 centimeters.
Very small.
It's 5 centimeters by 5 centimeters by 5 centimeters. That would be even cheaper to launch. That one, on a good day, you could get up into the skies for under 10,000.
Okay. But I don't know if you are thinking of this. How difficult will it be to attach these kind of thrusters to...
Oh, not difficult at all.
The CubeSats, so that you don't have to... it doesn't have to come down after the 6 months. Like, it can stay there for... Yeah,
it's not difficult at all. The thrusters on typical rockets usually use fuel.
Yeah.
You're looking at, for example, hydrogen and oxygen.
Yeah.
You really need large amounts of them to send it all the way into space. But recently... scientists have developed what you call ion thrusters.
Okay.
Yes, some even use, we also have laser thrusters. That's quite a bit
of technology. Yeah, I've heard of the laser thrusters. Yeah.
So with ion thrusters, you need just a little bit of gas.
Okay.
And your electrons, or with the combination of energy you get from your solar panels, you have enough fuel to
just be moving around a bit. That should last you a bit of time.
So many students have done that. Many students in universities outside the country.
They've tried that. I think for the next launch, all nations can think of something so that it lasts longer in space.
Exactly.
Because paying this amount to go into space for somewhere less than a year isn't...
It saves like
It's worth the effort and the experience and everything is awesome.
While on the subject, maybe I could mention, we have a few different categories of the CubeSat. You know, we have what's called the 1U. It's short for 1 minute.
1 minute, okay.
Now, we can have a 2U, which is supposed to be 10 centimeters by 10 centimeters by 20
centimeters. By 20, okay.
So it's kind of like
twice
the size of
the
set. Okay. Then you can also have a 3U.
Okay.
You can have many.
As many. It's just your pocket.
Exactly. Yeah, but we stop at 3U because within the 3U field, you can have enough space to put in your thrusters as well as enough space to put in
payloads. So.
But we are working with the 1U
for now. Yes. Eventually, I'm sure we're going to get to the 3U and then
maybe do a commercial version, which is around 50 kg for communication or whatever.
Research, anything of that sort. It's really been exciting talking to Dr. Bennett today. I've never met any space program guy. This is my first time. I'm really having a lot of first times these days, and it's really been a great opportunity for you to meet us and share experience with us. We hope to come some other time to have a look at the equipments around and get to see them and share with our audience. This is a radio interview. Eventually, we're going to come with a video to have a look at Mr. Bennett himself and also take a tour around the All Nation University College campus and learn more about and hopefully get into the secret room where the tracking device is. So thank you very much, Dr. Bennett, for joining us today. We really appreciate your time. Hope to come some other time and learn more about this project.
You're always welcome.
It was exciting and insightful hearing Dr. Julian share the experience about the space program happening here at the All Nation. The All Nation University is going to make Ghana proud, and I'm really happy to have been here to hear first-hand experiences. My name is Rex von Inkansa, Senior Web Developer. We hope to come your way next week, same time on Kofi's Dev Radio.